It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Welcome to the teaching ministry of Life Changing Ministries International with Dr. E.K.D. Quick. With your Bible in hand and your heart open to learn, let's join the teaching in progress.
From the book of Luke, chapter 19, verses 1 through 10. Today we're going to teach on the conversion of Zacchaeus. Luke chapter 19 verse 1 says, "And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass by that way. And when Jesus came to that place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore unto him fourfold. Verse 9, And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." Here in Luke 19, 1 through 10, we have the conversion of Zacchaeus. Here we have Jesus Christ passing through Jericho, and Zacchaeus, chief among the publicans, was there. What is a publican? A publican is a tax collector. A publican back in the Jewish days would be somebody working for the local IRS. This individual was not just a tax collector, he was a chief tax collector, a chief publican. And their role was to collect taxes from the Jewish people and to give them to the Romans. These individual publicans were despised among the Jewish people more than any other. Why was that? Because these publicans, like Zacchaeus, were Jewish individuals hired by the Romans, their military captors of that day, to collect taxes from their own brethren, other Jews, and give them to the Romans. They also were collecting taxes at not the appropriate rate of 5, 10, 15, 20% in that day, but was collecting taxes 75, 80, 85, 90% taxes. They were giving the Romans their 5, 10, 20%, and they were keeping the rest for themselves. That's why these publicans, these Jewish publicans, among their own people, were despised above all others. They were betrayers of their own people because they gave the Romans, their military captors, the exorbitant excess taxes and put a kickback in their own pocket, thus betraying their own people to their military captors, the Roman Empire. Not only was he a tax collector, he was a chief tax collector, so he'd be the one endorsing others to do this particular type of extortion. He was in that day worse than an extortioner. He was in that day worse than a loan shark because of the exorbitant high taxes and because he extorted his own brethren and sisters. Verse number 3, And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. He sought to see Jesus. In his heart he was drawn to the Lord. The Bible says, with love and kindness have I drawn thee. It's okay to respond to the tug in our heart. As God is calling, we should answer, and we should do whatever it takes to seek him. He could not for the press, for there were many around at that time desiring to touch Jesus, to see Jesus, to receive a miracle from Jesus, to hear a word from Jesus, to see his face, to behold the Lamb of God, to see this Messiah, this Christ that was foretold from the foundation of the world, that was prophesied throughout the scriptures and now fulfilled in that day. Spoken of in Genesis 3:15, spoken of in Numbers 24:17, spoken of in Psalm 22, spoken of in Isaiah 53, spoken of in Genesis chapter 22, spoken of and prophesied throughout the Old Testament, now fulfilled the coming of Christ in that day. And he sought to see who he was. Zacchaeus was not comfortable with who he was. He was convicted. He knew that he was lost and needed a Savior. And we pray today that there are those listening that look in the face of Jesus and desire to be born again. The Bible says he was little of stature in verse 3, and that's how we are compared to Jesus Christ. We are little of stature. John the Baptist said, "He must increase, and I must decrease." We are all little of stature when it comes to the Lord Jesus Christ. There are no big I's and no little U's in the kingdom of God. We are all little of stature when it comes to us and the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, it's all about the King of Kings, Jesus Christ, and not about us. This illustration is given as Paul's name was changed for Paul to always remember this particular principle. Paul, who was Saul of Tarsus before his conversion, the word Saul means ask for. Saul had a calling on his life. Jesus Christ told Saul on the road to Damascus, "It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks, the goads, the ox goads." In other words, Saul, I've been trying to call you and woo you and draw you and steer you because I have a calling in your life and you've been kicking against the pricks. Saul, your name is asked for. I've been seeking you. I've been calling you all of your life. But now that you are converted, Saul, I will change your name to Paul, which means dwarfish, so that you may always know, not just because you're physically little of stature, Paul, but because without me, you can do nothing. The Bible says in John chapter 15, verse 5, without me, without Jesus Christ, we can do nothing. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was. Jesus Christ asked Peter in Matthew chapter 16, verse 13, "Who is it that people say the Son of Man is?" And Peter responded that some say you're Jeremiah, some say you're Elijah, some say you're one of the prophets. And Jesus responded, "Who do you say I am?" And this is the same question that Zacchaeus is seeking to answer for himself. For the scriptures say in verse 3, he sought to see Jesus, who he was. This Jesus Christ who's been going around doing miracles, healing the sick, raising the dead, opening the eyes of the blind, healing the lepers, and healing those who have a broken heart. I want to see who this Jesus is because I need that from him. This was the heart of Zacchaeus seeking his face. Verse number 4. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass by that way. I'm sure a lot of us, not so long ago, remember playing in the streets or in the fields and climbing trees. And there are some trees that are hard to climb. A sycamore tree is a very difficult tree to climb. It has slippery bark. It also has a first limb that's very much out of reach and extends high off the ground. In other words, it's a difficult tree to climb. And Zacchaeus here is showing us that no matter what obstacle was in his way, he was going to overcome that obstacle to see Jesus. And this is how it should be for us. Whatever obstacle is in our way that the enemy places in our way, we should move heaven and earth to see Jesus Christ. This is how the woman with the issue of blood did. She passed through the crowd that was thronging Jesus Christ, and even though she had an issue of blood and was commanded by Jewish law to stay a certain yardage away from the people, for she was unclean during that time with the issue of blood, she still got close to the people, moved them out of her way to touch the hem of his garment. There are some out there today that had addictions, and they would do whatever it took to fulfill that particular addiction. Neither rain nor sleet nor a stormy night would stop them from fulfilling their addiction. But now on this side of their recovery, they should have that same energy to fulfill their sobriety and recovery. Same thing with those who are out in the world, out living a world of sin. Some of us would move heaven and earth to fulfill the lust of the flesh. And now on this side of salvation, we should move every obstacle in order to see Jesus, in order to be with him, in order to get into his word, in order to move into our prayer closet, in order to feed the hungry and clothe the naked, in order to do the works of God. We should be ever so hungry and thirsty to serve him. The Bible says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy mind and all thy soul and all thy strength. And thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. This burning desire should be churning and burning on the inside to see Jesus. And for us, whatever it takes to climb up our particular sycamore tree to see him pass by that way. Verse number 5. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. Verse 6, and he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. Here, Zacchaeus looked up, which is the only way for us to see Jesus. David said, I'll look to the hills, which cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord. He made haste. He hurried to see Jesus, as some today should hurry to the altar to receive salvation. When the altar call is given, we should make haste and rush to the altar and receive healing and receive salvation and receive forgiveness and receive restoration. We should make haste and receive him joyfully. Why? Before our minds begin to swirl and twirl, and we begin to have excuses go through our mind that we don't need to go to the altar, that we don't need Jesus today, that I don't need to be saved today, that I'm okay and I'm just as good as someone else. Well, this person doesn't do what I do, or I don't do what they do. I'm better than they are, and they're a little worse than I am. If we don't make haste when the altar call is given, if we don't bow our knee and confess Jesus Christ, if we don't seek him with our whole heart when the Holy Spirit is drawing us and the invitation is given at church, then we'll find excuses for today, we'll find excuses for tomorrow, we'll perpetuate our excuses, we'll justify and rationalize in our own mind and find a way to talk ourselves out of the blessing for that day. The Bible says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he's yet near. The Bible says, today is the day of salvation. The Bible says, tomorrow is not promised to us. Verse number 7. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was going to be guest with a man that is a sinner. The Bible says that Jesus Christ did not come to call upon the righteous, but sinners to repentance. The Bible says, come as you are, and in no wise will I cast you out. When the woman was caught in the midst of adultery in John chapter 8, Jesus Christ did not say, go back for a little while and try and change and then come back and see me. Jesus Christ did not come back and say, I want you to break that habit and then come back and see me. In other words, there are some today who say that I'm not going to come and see Jesus until I stop smoking. Or I'm not going to come to see Jesus or give my life to Christ until I become a better person. There are some who are saying today, I am not going to come and receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior because I'm not quite yet good enough. Then I'm going to come to the altar and say, Lord, I'm ready to receive you as Lord and Savior. My friend, there is nothing we can do and nothing we can't do to change our sinful situation short of coming to Jesus Christ. It's the complete work on Calvary's cross that pays the price for our salvation. Not what we do, not what we don't do, not what we say or what we don't say. Jesus Christ said on the cross, it is finished. It is Jesus Christ's blood and atonement, sacrifice, his death and burial and resurrection from the dead that pays the price and justifies us to receive salvation from him, to receive the gift of salvation through Jesus Christ. Come as you are, and in no wise I'll cast you out. The Bible says, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest on your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Verse number 8. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. Here we have in verse number 8, the actual conversion of Zacchaeus when he is convicted in his heart. After being in the presence of the Lord, he stands up and proclaims out of conversion, out of a change in his heart, Lord, I've taken so much from others and I've hurt others. And now, Lord, I'm going to give it all back and then some. This is what happens when we are in the presence of the Lord, in the presence of the Holy Spirit, in the church service, when the song is being sung, when the sermon is being preached, when we're reading that tract that's been given to us in our quiet time, when we go into our prayer closet and God is wooing us and drawing us with his loving kindness, then something happens on the inside. We stand up and we proclaim a change and say, oh God, I was this person then and I want to be that person now. God, I was part of the problem then. Now I'm part of the solution now. And here Zacchaeus is showing what's called the evidence of repentance. This particular principle is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 10 through 11. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. For behold, this selfsame thing that ye sorrowed after a godly sort, what carefulness it wrought in you, yea, what clearing of yourselves, yea, what indignation, yea, what fear, yea, what vehement desire, yea, what zeal, yea, what revenge. In all things you have approved yourselves to be clear in this matter. Here, the Corinthians are showing the evidence of their repentance. They had to repent back in 1 Corinthians because they did not discipline a church member that was committing fornication. And now in 2 Corinthians, they are showing a zeal to do the right thing. It says here, what carefulness it wrought in you. In other words, what godly obedience to do the right thing it's working in you. What clearing of yourselves, clearing yourselves of the burden of guilt, knowing that you are forgiven and washed and cleansed. It says, yea, what indignation, righteous indignation and hatred towards sin, loving the sinner, but hating the sin. It says, yea, what fear, now fear of God and the result of and the consequence of what sin does to us. Yea, what vehement desire. In other words, the desire to make things right. Yea, what zeal. The zeal now to do the right thing. Yea, what revenge. What revenge in now punishing the guilty? These are the signs of repentance. Just as there is fruit of the Spirit, there are signs of repentance. There should be a burning desire on the inside, just like Zacchaeus had when he realized that he took advantage of people. He hurt people, and now he wants to be a part of the healing process. He wants to give back that which he has taken and give back fourfold. Fulfilling Exodus chapter 22, the scriptures teach as a part of paying restitution in that day, not only did we pay back that which we have taken, back then they pay back fourfold. This is the evidence of salvation for Zacchaeus. Verse number 9 and 10 in closing. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for as much as ye are also the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost. And that's why Jesus Christ went into the house of Zacchaeus, because he knew that Zacchaeus was seeking him. And Jesus Christ responded to that. The Bible says, They that seek me early shall find me. The Bible says, Ye shall seek me and find me when you seek for me with your whole heart. Zacchaeus was saved. This day, the salvation had came to that house. He was also the son of Abraham. In other words, he had the same faith as Abraham. Saving faith, godly faith, because Abraham believed on the Messiah to come. We know that from Genesis chapter 15 and verse 6, the conversion of Abraham. And as Abraham was the forefather of our faith with the Messiah, we have the same faith as Abraham, therefore we are children of Abraham through faith in Christ Jesus according to the book of Galatians. Why? Because with the same faith that Abraham looked forward to the cross, forward to the Messiah, and forward to the Redeemer, we look back with that same faith back on the cross, back to the Redeemer, back to the Messiah, back to the Christ. The same faith looking forward, the same faith looking back. We are children of Abraham by faith in Christ Jesus. So here is Zacchaeus, a Jew by ethnic heritage, but now a true Jew, Christian, by conversion in Christ Jesus. The Bible says, Today is the day. Now is the time. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is yet near. This is the conversion of Zacchaeus. And on today, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, or if you have strayed away from his love and kindness, I invite you to pray with me this prayer of salvation, this prayer of rededication. This prayer will change your life. Pray with me. Oh God, I am a sinner. I have strayed away from your love and kindness. I believe that Jesus Christ died for my sins. I believe that God raised him from the dead. Come into my heart. Come into my life. Save me today. Forgive me, I pray. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Thank you for listening to the teaching ministry of Life Changing Ministries International. LCMI is a Christian non-denominational teaching ministry based solely on the Holy Bible, dedicated to pleasing God, glorifying Jesus Christ, and ensuring that the Bible is the foundation in everything this ministry proclaims and endorses. For more information, log on to our website at lifechangingministries.com. Please join us again next time for more Bible teaching. And remember, we have the victory through Jesus Christ.